Broad Canvases by Nigel Baldwin, with Sue Johnston as D.T. Mitchell. Episode 1, The Thirst Quenchers.
We're called flankers these days, Miss Mitchell.
Did I hear you right, Gareth? You did say flankers. What's that, rhyming slang?
You are.
In the old days, they were called wing forwards, though, weren't they? Oh, still take no notice, I'm a girly. I know nothing about the game.
More coffee?
No, tart. Right, well, I think I've got enough.
Already?
Just about. A new cap for Wales is not my idea of a major story. Sorry.
Oh, I know, you're a serious reporter.
Oh, now, was that sarcastic?
No, you got famous 3 years ago.
Don't start.
Yeah, that genetically engineered virus escaped from those labs and started killing kids.
You remember that?
Oh, who doesn't? The Red Valley virus?
Yeah, well, I got a lot of hassle for that. Certain interests didn't want it to come to light.
Made you a name.
Did it?
You could be working for an important newspaper in London.
Oh, been there, done that.
Sport's not that interesting for you then, is it?
Gareth, you're a new rugby international. It doesn't matter whether I am interested. It's the readers who are important. And most human beings with testosterone think sport should take precedence over Armageddon.
Who?
Never mind. Right, let's see. Quickly, domestic angle. Married or have you got a girlfriend, Gareth?
What?
A simple question. Do you have a girlfriend?
Why do you want to know?
Well, it's for the article. I'm not proposing. I'm old enough to be your great-grandmother, and I'm only interested in boys who've reached puberty.
Yeah, very good.
So, do you have a woman?
Oh, no, I'm without at the present time.
Oh, without at the present time. Quote. Footloose and fancy free, eh? Well, that'll do. Thank you for your time, Mr. Richards. Fancy you remembering the Red Valley virus.
Dee, the kid just remembered that you'd uncovered the Red Valley virus. So what? Don't be so paranoid.
Don't call me paranoid, Jarvis. While I'm doing that interview, you tell me a bloke walks into the offices wanting to speak to the reporter who broke the Red Valley virus story 3 years ago.
So, it's coincidence.
My life was threatened when I was on that story. People were killed because of what they knew. So please, don't call me paranoid. And will you sit still? How do you expect me to paint you when you're wriggling around like a little kid who wants to go to the toilet?
Sorry, madam.
Paranoia, Jarvis, in any case, is just a heightened state of awareness. So, what did he want?
Who?
This bloke who came into the office is asking for me.
Oh, Trevor Massey, I don't know. I told him he wouldn't be in until tomorrow. He said he'd come back then and buy us lunch.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
Can't be long boozy when I'm afraid. I've got Max Kirby all afternoon.
Kirby? Again? He's coming to Swansea rather frequently these days, isn't he?
He does own the paper, Dee.
He owns dozens of publications. He can't visit them all with this regularity.
The last game in the Five Nations is on Saturday.
So?
So he's an ex-international himself.
He played for England.
They do the circuit. Besides, he's here with his friend, Conor O'Neill.
Who?
Conor O'Neill. Irish standoff in the 60s. Kirby and O'Neill used to play against each other.
Am I supposed to be impressed?
I was about 11. I can remember seeing them on the telly.
Your reminiscences are bringing tears to my eyes.
Bloody good players, Kirby and O'Neill. I went to a varsity match when they both played for Cambridge.
Oh, do I care? Sit still.
It's nearly 9 o'clock. Shouldn't we be in the pub?
Your missus very kindly commissioned this painting because she felt sorry for me. I intend to be honourable and deliver before the millennium.
It wasn't because she felt sorry for you, Dee. She thinks you're a good painter.
I haven't sold a picture since I came back from Spain.
Your paintings are fine. People just don't understand them.
Don't patronise me, you quivering lump of lard.
Give a girl a compliment, she bites your balls off.
You wish.
Maybe she's got something better to do.
I'm sorry, Trevor. She's usually very professional, very reliable.
Is she sensitive about the Red Valley virus tag?
Somewhat. She did embarrass the government.
Andrew, it made her famous.
She doesn't care.
She should be proud.
It became a burden. There was so much flack she decided to leave the country. She gives a whole new meaning to the word paranoid.
Don't you think she could help me in respect of Sarah?
Possibly.
I'm so sorry. My car got a flat. Oh, Jarvis, you've got the disapproving expression of my old Latin teacher when he caught me and Martin Rogers in the chemistry lab. Me fondling Martin's Bunsen burner.
Trevor Massey, D.T. Mitchell.
How do you do? Excuse me, a bit sweaty round the cleavage.
Take no notice, Trevor, it's just her manner. Underneath, she's all charm.
I'm sure.
Actually, underneath, I'm all lingerie. Ooh, is that wine? Thank you. I don't mind if I do.
I think you already have.
I went to the pub while the garage man changed the wheel. What do you expect me to do while I'm waiting? Go to an aerobics class?
You've already eaten.
Well, how bloody chivalrous of you.
You are an hour late.
Oh, beg pardon? So, is someone going to tell me what's occurring?
Trevor came in this morning to look at some back copies of the journal.
What for?
Stories about her.
Oh, he says, taking a photo from his wallet and handing it to her like a perfect movie cliché.
I think she looks familiar.
Ooh, it's about your age range, Jarvis. 12.
28, actually.
I've seen her somewhere, I'm sure of it.
Do you want to find her?
Not exactly.
Right, so who is this woman when she's off the B-day?
Was. She's dead.
And?
She was my daughter, Sarah Massey.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So, what do you want, Mr. Massey?
Trevor. She died in unusual circumstances, April last year. I need to satisfy myself that the explanation of events is accurate.
What did the inquest say?
Accidental death.
So what's the problem?
2 months ago, I was contacted by someone who said Sarah was probably murdered.
Who?
I don't know. It was a message on my answering machine. She claimed she'd been a friend of Sarah's.
She?
The voice was female, but she didn't leave a name.
Odd that they left it for nearly a year.
Sarah drowned in a reservoir while under the influence of hallucinogenic drugs, LSD. She was naked. Local papers jump at stories like that. Unusual death. It hardly merited a passing mention in your publication.
Blame the editor.
I wasn't the editor. Geraint Morgan was in the chair a year
Don't you ago. Remember the story?
I was in Spain.
It seems strange that there was so little coverage.
I'll introduce you to Geraint. He's always in the Crown on a Friday night.
Yeah, and he's always pissed as a pudding. You'll never get any sense out of him.
Will you be there?
I shall probably have to dine with Max Kirby. Talking of which, Trevor, I have to go. Our proprietor's down for the Five Nations. He likes to show his face and
pretend he's interested.
That's our employer you're maligning. Thanks for lunch, Trevor. See you around. Be careful of this blonde bombshell. She eats men like you for breakfast.
Yes, well, it's lunch.
The
fancy him sticking to mineral water.
I could order some more wine.
Why did you ask for me, Trevor?
I remember when you broke that story 3 years ago. It was a sensation.
Well, the Red Valley virus was a one-off.
It became world news. If Sarah's death was sinister, then someone like you could perhaps help me find out.
Have you been to the police since you got this message about Sarah?
They say there's no evidence to reopen the case.
If you're looking for help, why don't you find yourself a private detective?
I'd be more confident if I had someone like you on my side.
I'd better warn you that I am a Leo, which means I am susceptible to flattery to the point of being taken for a sucker every time.
I can pay.
Well, if there's a story, you won't have to. Any idea who might have left you this message?
Sarah did have a friend called Jane Edwards, but I can't ask her, because she seems to have disappeared.
What did it say?
I'm a friend. I was a friend of Sarah's. I think you have the right to know that it was very probable that she was murdered.
I think your suggestion that we order some more wine was a very good idea. Trev.
Are you all right?
All this guilt that's coming up, Thomas, it's eating me away.
Guilt is one of your obsessions.
Oh, don't start that.
It's the one thing that consistently arises every week. You come back from Spain because you think you're getting somewhere with your paintings. But you've given up and gone back to your tuppenny halfpenny job on the local rag.
All right. You're my therapist, Thomas, not my inquisitor.
You want to be an artist.
I'm not selling anything.
Not surprising. You won't show your pictures because you're frightened of rejection.
Okay.
Your father rejected your mother. You punished your father because of that. Your father breaks contact because he can't take your anger. Then you feel rejected, and then he dies, and you feel guilty because you punished him.
Rejected and guilty? What a bundle of neurosis.
Why are you continually beating yourself up?
All right, thank you. On that note of castigation, I'll leave.
Don't sulk.
If you weren't my friend, I'd hit you. Oh, I've left my checkbook at home. More guilt.
Pay me next week.
In your book, you talk about people being crippled by guilt. Driver who knocked someone down when he was speeding and became impotent. Music student who could have become a concert pianist but lost the ability to play because her friend was killed. Woman whose reproductive system went haywire because she felt guilty about taking a man away from her best friend.
It's nothing new.
Yeah, but the fact that it can render you incapable...
What are you getting at?
Well, am I going to lose the ability to paint because I feel guilty about not painting because I feel guilty about my father?
We're talking about severe psychosis in those cases.
But how do you start dealing with that?
You make reparation in the way you feel is appropriate. But you start by forgiving yourself.
Even if you've run someone down in a car.
You can't heal until you've forgiven yourself.
He says, looking into his client's eyes with a very significant stare. Well, we all know that's a piece of piss. I've only been trying for 2 years. And with that throwaway line, she was gone.
See you next week.
I hope you're impressed that I've read your book before it's even been published.
I am.
So why didn't you say so?
You wanted my approval.
Do you ever stop being a therapist? Oh,
go and do some painting.
Sorry, not tonight. Got an appointment in the Crown.
Are you ever going to
do
deal...
Do not mention my drinking. Just because you've given up. I'm going to see my ex-editor and a man who needs to find out what happened to his daughter.
Dee.
And he's rather attractive. I know I'm frittering my life away, but I need to be needed. Don't worry. I do feel guilty about it.
I covered the inquest on Sarah Massey. She drowned in a reservoir after dropping acid. She had no clothes on, and police said there was no sign of a struggle or any suggestion anyone else was involved.
So why does Trevor get a message saying his daughter was probably murdered?
Haven't the foggiest. Hoax?
There was very little coverage in your newspaper.
What was there to say, apart from how she died?
It was a sexy student story, Geraint. Even if it was an accident, she's on drugs, she's naked. Isn't that salacious enough for you? Didn't you dig into her background, invade the lives of anyone who was remotely connected with her?
Towards my retirement, Dee, I was losing my taste for that sort of stuff. Maybe I did some unconscious censoring. It happens.
You're being evasive, Geraint.
That's very nice of you, Dee. Just a pint of best.
I'll get them a pint of best and a vodka and tonic.
Yes?
You've got sad and cynical since you retired, Geraint. Aren't you enjoying Uncle Ernie's gift vouchers?
There's more to life than winning a few bob in the premium bonds.
£100 grand's a bit more than a few bob.
Topped up the pension, granted.
You're avoiding my eyes. That's indicative of evasion.
Since your friend and his generosity is at the bar and out of earshot, I shall now tell you a poignant reason for not making Sarah's death an appalling tabloid orgy.
Yes?
Her best friend came to see me after Sarah died. She was pretty choked. Jane, her name was, Jane Edwards. She asked me what I was going to write, and I asked why. She said she didn't want the truth to come out about Sarah. It would have devastated Sarah's family. Her mother was dying of cancer at the time.
Oh, how compassionate of you. Did you have pert little tits and a tight bum?
According to Jane, the family thought Sarah was so upright, so proper. In reality, she was a junkie and a nymphomaniac. Jane thought it was bad enough that their daughter was dead without shattering their illusions. It's a lot for a family to handle.
And you go all misty-eyed and comply, just like that.
It was a heartfelt request from a distraught girl. You don't cause upset without good reason. You can exploit people to earn your money if you want, Dee, but I don't like
it. You what? You exploited every female trainee who walked into our offices. They all had to fight you off. I hear even at your retirement party, a woman with a grievance gate crashed and made a bit of a scene.
Yeah, well, some silly tart making false accusations about me taking advantage of my profession.
Oh, I do love the pejorative epithet she used to describe women.
Some rubbish about me rogering a mother while out on a story. A complete fabrication, of course.
Of course.
Silly coward thrown booze all over me before she got turfed out.
Because Geraint would never take advantage of anyone. Thus, when a friend of Sarah's asked you to play down a story, you acquiesce.
That's right.
You just rolled over and had your tummy tickled, did you, you big pussycat?
Jane said that Sarah slept with a number of public figures, and it wouldn't be good for much of this to come to light.
Why should someone you don't know offer that information?
Sarah was a goer. Jane said there were even suggestions that she was screwing her boyfriend's father.
Which boyfriend?
I haven't a clue.
Some of this could, of course, be disinformation to discredit Sarah. 2 pints of best and a vodka and tonic.
Sorry, Trevor.
That's all right. There's no disgrace in sexual activity, is there? There were rumours that Sarah was sleeping with a boyfriend's father.
Rumours, that's all. She had wild flings with everyone, according to her friend. No offence, Trevor. Sort of woman that puts it about to get her own way.
Oh, how non-judgmental of you, Geraint.
Like someone else I know.
Oh, piss off.
Do you know which boyfriend? Would it have been Gareth Richards?
What?
Gareth Richards, rugby player. Just won his first cap.
I was interviewing him yesterday.
Before she died, Sarah told me she was having a thing with Richards. I went to see him. He denied it.
That's interesting. He got very nervous when I asked him about girlfriends.
He's lying through his teeth.
Oh, what is this? I had a heavy match on Saturday.
You didn't play, you were on the bench. Now, even I know that.
You just want to make trouble for me.
No.
We'll go away if you answer our questions.
Great! Disrupt my life, why don't you?
Did Sarah know you were a flanker, Gareth?
She knew I played rugby. That's how we met.
Oh, let me explain rhyming slang to you.
Oh, I get you. Sarcastic, is it?
You denied having a relationship with my daughter. Why?
I don't know what you keep going on about this for. All right. It wasn't a relationship. It was a fling. Why? Because I didn't want to get involved.
Sarah might have been murdered.
I wasn't going out with her when she died. Look, any scandal, anything that be misinterpreted in the press, it could affect my career. I don't know anything, so...
So you said you didn't have a thing with her?
It was sex, more than, you know, a proper relationship.
So how long were you together, if I may use that term?
3 months, if I...
How did you meet?
In the club, in the bar after a game. She chatted me up, took me to bed. Instant gratification. Sorry, but she was as mercenary as that.
You don't have to apologise.
Mercenary?
She used sex to get what she wanted.
Which was?
I don't know.
Did you have an interest in your father?
What do you mean?
Was she sleeping with him?
No. I mean, Sarah was a bit liberal, but come on.
But she knew him.
Yeah, I introduced them. They had common interests. Sarah was doing a postgrad degree in environmental studies and Dad was chief executive of the Welsh Rivers Authority.
Did your dad like her?
Well, they got on all right. Until one afternoon, after Sunday lunch, when Dad found Sarah snooping round his study.
What was she doing?
Going through his papers, apparently. She wouldn't say why. There was a blazing row between all three of us and she stormed out. Look, Dad wouldn't have been sleeping with her.
So she walked out. Did you see her again?
Next time I went round to her, she came to the door wrapped in a bath towel. In the background was a half-dressed boy who she took delight in introducing to me as Pepe, a Spaniard who was a waiter in the Cumberland Hotel.
Nice. Did you know a Jane Edwards, a friend of Sarah's?
No, I didn't know. I never knew any of Sarah's friends. I'm surprised she had any.
Yes, please, same again. You think Jane Edwards has done a runner?
Apparently Jane left the job at the school where she taught, very suddenly. And about the time Sarah died, she didn't leave a forwarding address.
Doesn't have to be sinister, she might just have moved.
It would help if we could find her.
You think it's her that's phoned you?
Possibly. She was the only friend Sarah ever spoke of.
Well, I don't think it was, Jane.
Why?
She went to our newspaper to ask her aunt to play down Sarah's death. If she thought Sarah was murdered, why would she do that?
Why did she ask to play it down?
Because, I don't know, I think she was trying to save Sarah's reputation.
But now, Jane's disappeared.
Thanks.
You drink a lot.
Yes, I do. And I enjoy it. Are you judging me?
No. I like women who are forthright.
Oh, well, I should be all right then.
I know Sarah was promiscuous, Dee. You don't have to be delicate with me.
Fair enough.
Regrettably, Sarah and I weren't close. But she would always ring and tell me about her latest affair, as if to outrage me. The more sexual they were, the more she'd go into great detail. I got the point long ago.
What point?
She was saying she was starved of love as a child, and that sleeping around was her way of getting it now.
Well, I understand that one.
Sorry?
What do you do in Chester, Trev?
Me? I'm a marketing consultant to a pet food company.
When are you going back?
I don't know. When I'm clearer about Sarah's death. I'm staying at the Sheraton.
Sheraton? Posh.
Room 112.
Oh, dear me, Trev, is that an invitation?
Do you wish it to be?
Let's keep our minds on less licentious things, Trev. Like whatever happened to Jane Edwards.
Dad, don't ask me, Gareth. I told you a million times not to mention it.
They say Sarah was murdered. People are asking us.
Gareth, please, I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry, Dad, but I've got to know. Last year, when you were arguing with her in your study, she accused you of being in bed with Ginny Taylor.
I wasn't in bed with Ginny Taylor, son.
Were you sleeping with Sarah?
No, Gareth. Just don't believe everything you hear.
So what did Sarah mean by you being in bed with Ginny Taylor?
Gareth, Ginny Taylor was... Who's that? Ginny Taylor was...
What's the matter? Dad! Don't just stand there and help me! Phone for an ambulance!
What are you doing here this time of night?
I could ask you the same question, Jarvis.
The CD room. Couldn't it wait till the morning?
Oh, tuck your shirt in, please.
David Richards? Who's he? What's he got to do with the price of fish?
He's a connection to Sarah Massey. Stop trying to be so nonchalant, Jarvis. That sexual symphony deserved a spot at the Albert Hall.
Oh.
Here we are. Richards, David, retired on the grounds of ill health a year ago. £150,000 golden handshake. Handy. And just before Sarah was killed. And Sarah was discovered going through his knickers drawer.
What?
Metaphorically speaking, I think. What was she looking for?
I'll go then, Mr. Jarvis. We can finish discussing copy in the morning.
Oh, discussing copy?
Tracy, Why don't you take the morning off? Buy something nice for yourself in Marks and Spencer's.
Oh, right, Mr. Jarvis. Night.
Bye.
Night, Dee.
See you, Tracy. You and Marcy are not getting on lately.
So what's with the chief executive of the Welsh Rivers Authority?
I'm speechless.
Why?
Tracy's barely 23.
Well, that's the point. She's succulent.
Oh.
I don't get anything at home. So you're onto something with this Sarah Massey, are you?
What does the chief executive of the Welsh Rivers Authority do exactly?
Lots, sometimes. No, come on, let me. Yeah. Remember that scandal 5 years ago when phosphates were found in the drinking water in North Wales?
Vaguely, I was in London then.
You should do, you're a journalist. 7 people died from drinking contaminated tap water. For 5 days, 1 million people had no running water.
Yes, okay, what's the connection?
It would have been Richard's job as chief executive of the Welsh Rivers Authority to bring a prosecution against the water company for not keeping the water clean and the chemical company for polluting it.
And did he?
Oh, come on, not half. All over the nationals, look. Richards goes for the jugular. Welsh Rivers Authority sends you a private water company.
WRA Clobber Killer Thirst Quenchers. Thirst Quenchers? That's cute.
Richards was known to be very zealous in prosecuting water companies who didn't keep up standards.
So what happened?
Massive fines. Carbochem, the company who dumped the fertiliser, went bust. Shares in North Wales Water plummeted.
How very reassuring. I bet no one did time for manslaughter, though. Carbochem manufactured nasty pesticides, did they?
They did. And herbicides and fertilisers.
Well, I'm glad they went bust.
That was the last time Max Kirby interfered with editorial policy down here, you know.
Oh, and don't tell me. He didn't want you to report it because he had business friends who had shares in Carbochem or North Wales Water.
On the contrary, he wanted us to back Richards to the hilt. Editorial after editorial about how there should be no compromise in making sure our water is safe to drink.
How very public-spirited. And now, I suppose, we have the cleanest water on the planet.
We ran a campaign and it paid off. And Kirby encouraged it.
Never got him his knighthood, though, did it? So, if David Richards was an upstanding knight-errant in his fight against contaminated water, what would have been Sarah Massey's interest in him?
Sex?
Oh, can't you think of anything else? She was an environmentalist. To get close to this guy, she has an affair with his son, Gareth.
Well, that's sex.
She drowned in a reservoir. Is that significant?
Should it be?
Water companies have reservoirs. 7:45. Far too late for anyone to ask me for a date. Mitchell? You what? When? Is he dead?
I went round to see David Richards because I wanted to speak to him. I wanted to know what Sarah's interest in him was. I didn't get a chance. Gareth was already there, and he and his dad were having a massive row in the garden. And that's when David collapsed. Then he had a fatal heart attack in intensive care while you were on your way here.
Poor old Gareth. Where is he?
Having a good cry somewhere, I should imagine. Gareth thinks it was the row that killed him.
Row about what, Trevor?
Apparently, from what I overheard, it seems that Sarah had accused David Richards of being in bed with Ginny Taylor.
What? The MPS was before the election.
She was Richards' constituency MP.
Yeah, and mine. Are you saying David Richards and Ginny Taylor were having an affair?
I don't know.
It's gone midnight, well past Uncle Andy's bedtime.
If there's another one Prime Minister in this country, then our ex-MP, Ginny Taylor, will be she.
She's got to get a seat back first.
Oh, she will. She only lost it by 22 votes. Or they'll find her a safe one somewhere else.
Okay, so what?
So she's ambitious.
Oh, look, up until a year ago, Taylor was a Minister for the Environment. So it would stand to reason that her and Richards would work closely together, be in bed together, if you like.
No, you mean we're not talking literally?
Right, they were both dealing with the environment.
You said Richards was renowned for prosecuting water companies who fell below acceptable standards. Then, last year, a student by the name of Sarah Massey, on an environmental studies course at the university, gains access, probably through Richard's son Gareth, to Richard's study. Soon after, Sarah is dead, and now someone is alleging she was murdered.
And?
Sarah stumbled on something she shouldn't have done.
Like what?
I don't know. But let's now assume Richards and Taylor were in bed together, that is to say, colluding.
To what end?
Some political advantage to Taylor, or something that's been covered up. Look, as soon as Sarah comes on the scene, Richards is retired on the grounds of ill health with $150,000 worth of golden handshake.
Probably justified, since he's just died of a massive coronary.
Maybe it was induced.
Oh, please, why?
Because Richards knew something that someone didn't want him to talk about?
If I had any air, I'd be pulling it out now. You cobble together a few unconnected facts and make a conspiracy.
What if Sarah was trying to get to Ginny Taylor? Through Richards?
Do you want one for the road?
Who was the anonymous caller who phoned Trevor?
As Geraint said, it might have been a hoax.
Why is Jane Edwards, Sarah's best friend, missing?
She's not necessarily missing. She might just have moved.
Well, she's certainly done that.
Vodka and tonic.
Ooh, large. Do you want to phone for a cab?
No, where are we going? Back to yours for a night of unparalleled eroticism?
Ooh, I'm sorry, I couldn't do that. Not now Tracy's set her heart on your middle-aged spread.
You ought to know that Sarah Massey made a tape of a conversation in a restaurant between David Richards and Ginny Taylor as they were having lunch. So let's tell Trevor Massey this. You might ask yourself why he's here. He didn't care about his daughter. Sarah took this tape.
The lady, I'll never leave it.
Oh, shit.
Sheraton Hotel.
A room 112, please. Well, three cheers for minibars.
Why do you think I wouldn't care for my daughter? Why do you think I'm here?
I don't know. Someone's trying to stir it.
Who? Has someone been in touch with you?
Not exactly. Now, let's leave it, Trev.
I'm not, as a rule, the emotional type. That's why Sarah and I could never communicate. After her mother died...
Don't.
I did love her. I just didn't know how to tell her. Now, this is me trying to make amends. How could you think I didn't care about
it? I am sorry I mentioned it. I have a daughter, you know.
Yes?
She's 12. She lives in Argentina with her dad. Coaches rugby out there. I see her, twice a year.
Does that make you sad?
Sometimes. But she wanted to go with him.
Will you stay here tonight? I'm sorry, I'm never sure how to ask.
Well, No, I can't. It would be messy.
I understand.
No, I don't think you do. Look, just let me tell you something. Sarah's... sexual antics.
What about them?
They're not a million miles from me. Well, from the ages of 19 to 39. Sleeping around and looking for love. A substitute for the love my father never gave me. Patterns got so ingrained I went into therapy.
I don't want any... psychobabble at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was just asking for some comfort. Not an academic psychological profile.
Look, I was just trying to make a point. Oh, never mind. Here, come here.
I'm sorry. embarrassment. To be needy is to be vulnerable.
Well, men are allowed to be vulnerable. What it is to have hormones.
I thought you said it would be messy.
Yes, well, shut up before I change my mind. Oh, not the best idea I've had all day.
I'm sorry.
A shambolic and largely unsuccessful coupling, I would have thought.
I said...
Don't keep apologising. No one's blaming you.
It's been quite a while.
Yes.
It's not very... Encounters have been few and far between since my wife...
Was she ill for a long time before she died?
What?
Well, she was dying of cancer when Sarah was killed. Oh, I'm sorry. You weren't supposed to know I knew.
Cancer? My wife was killed in a car crash. 6 years ago.
What? But Jane Edwards asked my paper to play down the Sarah story so that Sarah's mother wouldn't get upset about her daughter's promiscuity. Why would Jane do that if Sarah's mother was already dead?
I'm accustomed to people knocking. Even my most senior reporter with a sexy pout and come-to-bed look in her eyes.
Sorry, I forgot your office doubles as a knocking shop.
Thanks for the invitation, but I got rather a lot of work to do.
Jarvis, I have just been on to my friend Malcolm in London.
And did the earth move?
He's rather well informed about the world of business.
Bully for him.
What's this?
It's a photograph in our newspaper. Not that uncommon an appearance.
Max Kirby and Conor O'Neill at the Five Nations match on Saturday.
So, Kirby's got a big ego. He likes to get his picture in the papers.
You said they played international rugby together in the 60s.
Against each other, actually. They played together at Cambridge.
And now they're playing together in big business.
What are you up to?
You said Kirby ran a press campaign in tandem with David Richards prosecuting North Wales Water 5 years ago.
Along with the environmental group, Greenwatch, yeah, so?
What if Kirby had vested interests?
Like what?
Like Conor O'Neill, that's what. Conor O'Neill is chairman of Deutsche Wasser. Deutsche Wasser were the company who took over North Wales Water when the shares plummeted 5 years ago after the contamination scandal.
Dee, you're losing me.
Kirby and O'Neill are mates. Kirby does a negative PR job on North Wales Water by highlighting the pollution scare.
7 people died. That's a good enough reason to highlight it.
And O'Neill's company, Deutsche Wasser, weighed in with a takeover.
Weighed in. Nice image.
So?
So nothing. There's always vested interests in business.
Jarvis, are you not listening to me? Rugger buggers in the locker room get together to scratch each other's backs. Kirby says to O'Neill that he'll give North Wales Water a hard time in his publications.
They deserved a hard time. So Kirby's motive is not entirely altruistic. So what? It's not illegal.
But what if Sarah found out?
Then she wouldn't have discovered anything the business community didn't already know. It wouldn't be a reason to kill her, if she was killed. Anyway, that was 5 years back. Sarah died a year ago.
Oh, sugar.
Love some. If I can have a cup of tea to go with it.
Why did Sarah's death get so little coverage in our newspaper?
We know why. Geraint told you.
Oh, yeah. Because Jane Edwards asked him to. To protect Sarah's mother's feelings. Only Sarah's mother was already dead.
What?
Not now, Tracy. Mr. Jarvis's libido is on hold. I need him to have his brain in gear.
I looked through the files like you asked, Mr. Jarvis. There is another story concerning a Sarah Massey.
What's this?
I got Tracy to do some research. Somehow I thought I'd try and wean you off your addiction to conspiracy theories by illustrating how mundane people's lives are as a rule.
Sarah worked for Greenwatch before she did her PhD.
Is that relevant?
One of the more stunning stories of the decade.
3 years ago.
All they need is the air that they breathe. Sarah Massey, 25, of Greenwatch, and friend Jane Edwards from the Welsh College of Music and Drama, putting the old Holly song, The Air That I Breathe, to environmental use in the Arndale Centre in Swansea to highlight concerns about air pollution. October 21st, 1994.
Oh, it's outrageous that people don't think before they drive their cars. People who pollute have to breathe the same air as everybody else.
Oh, come off it, Tracy. The air's cleaner than it was. You're too young to remember real smog.
You're wrong. The photochemical smog we have now is much more dangerous. And it's caused by the action of sunlight on nitrogen oxides and hydrocarbons. And the major sources of these chemicals are car exhausts. And if you knew what damage it was doing to your lungs, you'd get a bicycle and ditch your car. Only people are too selfish, aren't they? Stupidly.
Yes, well...
More people die of asthma today than ever before. People can find out these things if they can be bothered and adjust their lifestyles accordingly.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Meanwhile, what relevance does this pathetic little press cutting have for me?
It's got a picture of Sarah and her friend Jane, who you said you were looking for.
I want to know where Jane Edwards is, not what she looks like. Why the hell would she tell Geraint she wanted to protect Sarah's mother when the mother was already dead?
Huh? Has Geraint got a theory?
Oh, he's in London. NUJ old boy's knees up or something.
On another binge. His consumption has soared since he retired. He won't live long enough to enjoy his premium bond bonanza.
You know who Sarah Massey reminds me of?
Oh, who, Tracy? A member of some dippy all-girl pop group featured in the latest edition of Jacket?
No. Mr. Jarvis just mentioned Mr. Morgan. And that made me think of his retirement party.
What are you on?
Sarah looks like the girl who gate-crashed Mr. Morgan's do and threw a drink all over him.
You what?
I was standing right behind him.
I knew she looked familiar. Have you got that photo Trevor gave you?
Voila.
She looks younger than her years. I thought the girl at the party was about 20.
Are you sure it was Sarah?
Pretty sure. There's something different about her.
Her hair was different. It was shorter.
Do you remember what she said?
Ah, I couldn't hear. The music was too loud.
He said she accused him of sleeping with her mother.
He was killed years before. Crap. Andy, when did Geraint win the premium bonds?
My birthday. I'll never forget that. My birthday, and he hits the jackpot. Lucky sod.
You're on the cusp, aren't you? Pisces and Aries?
Oh, don't go all astrological on me.
You are, though.
So?
Strange.
What is?
Oh, what?
Do you mind? You could give a man a heart attack.
Staring at me in the face, Jane Edwards. Jane, pictured here playing the guitar, is usually seen sitting at a piano. Her first love. Her ambition is to be a concert pianist.
It's confidential.
Sarah was probably murdered, Thomas.
I can't tell you.
Jane Edwards is a client of yours.
I don't know any Jane Edwards.
It's in your book. There won't be two women in this area who can't play the piano because their friend died and they felt guilty about it.
Her name isn't Jane.
It's going to be the same woman.
It's Amanda.
Then she's probably changed her name.
I shouldn't have told you that.
You've got the wrong address. No one of that name lives here.
I know you, Jane Edwards, because I did the unforgivable. When Thomas left the room, I went through his diary to see when an Amanda was scheduled for her next appointment. It was the following afternoon. I was parked at the road from Thomas's house when you pitched up. After you'd finished, I followed you home. Your name's not Amanda. Someone has alleged that your friend Sarah was murdered, Jane. Let me come in, please.
I don't think Thomas would be pleased you'd invaded his confidences.
He's a friend. Well, it was. Jane, I am not going to tell anyone I found you. Let me talk to you, please.
Let her in, Jane. She's found you. You're just going to have to trust her.
Gareth? Must be something to earn a baby grand. How did you get it in the flat?
Don't make small talk. Get to the point.
Sorry. It was you who left the message on my machine in that really bad Irish accent, wasn't it, Gareth?
Yes.
And Jane was screaming in the background. You wanted me to know about this tape recording, but you had to do it anonymously. Otherwise, I would have asked how you knew. And that would have been awkward because Jane told you. Right?
Yes.
And you didn't want Jane's whereabouts revealed.
Look, can you leave that piano alone?
Oh, a thousand pardons. Why tell me at all, Gareth?
Dad was dead. He didn't need protecting anymore.
Protecting?
Sarah said something to Dad a year ago that really shocked him.
What?
He wouldn't say. But I think he'd been compromised. I put it out of my mind until Jane came to see me 2 months ago. And then when you started investigating, I began to get scared. What if Dad had been responsible for Sarah's death? That's what I went to ask him the other night.
But you never found out?
No.
And it was Jane who phoned Trevor to say Sarah might have been murdered.
It was Thomas's idea. To tell someone else other than him was a way of dealing with the guilt. My closing down had manifested in my inability to play.
Trevor wouldn't have cared how Sarah died.
If he didn't care, then why is he here?
I don't know.
Why did you feel guilty, Jane?
Because I knew Sarah was playing with fire and I didn't do anything to stop her.
So why did you go into hiding?
I was scared. If Sarah was killed and people think I know, they might also think I know why.
But you don't?
No. Sarah was very secretive about what she was up to. All I knew was that it was something to do with the water industry and she had got evidence on tape.
How did she manage to record Richards and Taylor at lunch?
Sarah had rummaged through Dad's diary, remember? She'd discovered that Dad and Taylor were meeting in the Cumberland Hotel, so Sarah seduced that Spanish waiter who worked there and got him to plant the mic at their table.
And she took the evidence she had gathered to the press, to be specific, to my newspaper.
How do you know that?
It adds up.
She took it all to the editor. Morgan?
Yes, and he sat on it.
10 days went by and Sarah hadn't heard anything, and he wasn't returning a call.
So she went round there in person and found herself in the middle of his retirement party.
She wanted her documents back. Apparently, he refused to acknowledge who she was and got her thrown out.
Didn't she make any backup copies of this material?
Oh, sure. But 3 or 4 days after she'd first been to Morgan, her flat was burgled. Everything gone. When Morgan didn't publish, she put 2 and 2 together, but she couldn't prove anything, and the police weren't interested. 2 days after she gatecrashed that party, she was dead.
Jane, presumably you didn't ask Morgan to play down Sarah's death to protect her mother, did you?
What? Why would I? Sarah's mother was killed in a car crash 5 years before. That was one of the reasons Sarah hated her father so much. He was driving. She blamed him for it.
I'm not about to tell anyone where Jane lives, Gareth.
Massey wants to know, doesn't he?
Yes.
Don't trust him, do you? Sarah couldn't stand him.
Gareth, what did Sarah mean by your dad being in bed with Ginny Taylor? She didn't mean they were lovers, did she?
Well, that's what I asked him that night, when he collapsed.
I'm sorry.
I think he knew he was dying in the ambulance. So he told me he wasn't sleeping with Taylor. That was the point. Taylor was sleeping with Max Kirby.
Max Kirby?
Yeah, he's an ex-international rugby player. Now a businessman, apparently.
What did your dad mean? That was the point?
I don't know. He lost consciousness 30 seconds later and never regained it.
Jarvis, why didn't you tell me Ginny Taylor and Max Kirby were having a thing?
Is it relevant?
Yes, it bloody well is. Somehow Taylor is implicated. She does deals with David Richards. Meanwhile, her lover Max Kirby has a friend who's chairman of Deutsche Wasser. I mean, this gets more sordid by the minute.
I'm tired of your conspiracy theories, Dee. Will you get back into the office and do some work?
Jarvis, is there anything else you know that you're not telling me?
I don't know what you're talking about. Look, Dee, have you got any evidence of anything?
Yes, I've got evidence that Sarah Massey took what she discovered to...
Evidence that you did what? D.
Nothing.
Have you got anything concrete at all?
No, Jarvis. No, you're right. I'm speculating. I've got nothing concrete. I've hit a dead end. It's frustrating. Sugar! According to Gareth Richards, your daughter didn't like you very much, Trev.
That's nonsense. How would he know?
What are you doing here, really, Trevor?
I'm trying to find out what happened to my daughter. Someone phones me and says she was killed. Why can't we find this Jane Edwards? She's bound to be the key.
Why would she be the key?
Why are you doubting my motives? You're supposed to be helping me.
What do you think I'm doing? Trying to be a bloody Morris dancer? Take your hands off me, Trevor.
Sarah was my daughter.
So you keep saying. Look, you don't own me just because we had an uncomfortable fumble the other night. God. Why is it I always end up with control freaks?
I need to find out what happened.
Really? And is that the only agenda?
Yes, it is the only agenda. I'm trying to heal the rift with my daughter. Don't you want to heal the relationship with your father, even though he's dead?
All right. We are about to find out what happened.
And we don't need Jane Edwards.
We are?
Perhaps Jane Edwards knew nothing, Trevor. Perhaps she just disappeared because she was scared that people thought she knew something. Anyway, we don't need to find her now.
Are you going to tell me what you know?
Ever heard of a Conor O'Neill, Trevor, an Irish rugby international in the 60s?
I don't remember.
Presently chairman of a company called Deutsche Wasser and a great mate of Max Kirby's, also an ex-rugby international. Rugger buggers all. I wonder if they were both flankers together.
I don't follow.
Well, you will. We are going to see a man who claimed to have a big win on the premium bonds. Only big wins come at the beginning of the month, not on the cusp of Pisces and Aries.
I'm lost.
Just promise me one thing, Trevor. Never, ever tell Andy Jarvis where we're about to go. Come on, Geraint, you lied. Sarah came to you with information. You suppressed it. You didn't win on the premium bonds, did you? Someone paid you off. Who? Kirby?
A millionaire without peace of mind might as well be a pauper.
Oh, please.
Anyone want a drink, Trevor?
No, thanks.
You're going at it some. It's not yet 11 in the morning.
Well, I've lived with this for a year.
You spun me a story about Jane coming to you to play down Sarah's death, but that was bollocks. It was Kirby who didn't want it reported. Sarah was killed because she'd found out something, so don't highlight her death in the papers.
I warned Sarah when she barged into my party that she was in danger, that she didn't know what she was up against. But she was hysterical. She wouldn't listen. She said she'd collect the evidence again.
What did Sarah discover about North Wales water last year, Geraint?
That a sewerage works was polluting the water supply and that Ginny Taylor wanted the Welsh Rivers Authority in general and David Richards in particular to turn a blind eye.
Is that all? She was killed for that?
Is that all, Trevor? Richards should have prosecuted. That's corruption. Mrs. Taylor is a very ambitious woman. She wants to be Prime Minister. If this came out, she'd be finished.
But why would she put her career at risk?
Oh, because Mrs. Taylor's boyfriend is Max Kirby. It's Kirby who puts pressure on her to nobble Richards. Why? Because his rugger-bugger buddy Conor O'Neill is chairman of Deutsche Wasser, who now owns North Wales Water. The tape Sarah made. Presumably there was stuff on it to compromise Taylor, otherwise Sarah wouldn't have brought it to you.
Presumably.
And you took it to Kirby?
He was very grateful.
Anything else?
Circumstantial evidence that the water supply was being polluted by the sewerage works.
Oh, and I suppose Kirby had it destroyed.
I suppose he did.
Who killed my daughter?
I didn't think they'd kill her, just frighten her off.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Ask yourself who gave the order, Trevor. Richards, Taylor, Kirby and O'Neill, they all had something to lose. It was a conspiracy. You will never know who actually killed her.
I don't understand why Sarah came to you with this material.
It was the obvious place to come. 5 years ago, we championed the consumers' rights and ran a campaign against North Wales Water. As far as she was concerned, we would again. We were the good guys. Sarah may have been passionate, but she was naive. She wouldn't have known that Kirby was proprietor of the journal, let alone that he now had a direct financial interest in the water company.
Now you're going to tip the wink to Kirby again, only this time it's me on his tail.
You haven't got a story. It's conjecture. And no, I'm not. I only have one soul to sell, and I've done that.
I think you should go to the police with this.
Do you? What do you think they're going to do? There's no evidence.
Did Sarah say anyone else was involved? Any other companies or anything?
Why are you asking that, Trevor?
What is it, Mr. Massey?
I just want to be clear, that's all.
It couldn't be clearer. Deutsche Wasser need to be protected from bad PR. Kirby gets his lover, an ambitious politician, to corrupt a civil servant to cover it all up, and no one else was involved.
You're responsible for Sarah's death, Geraint. You know that.
You mean I took the 30 pieces of silver?
Mm.
Well, yes. But Sarah was hardly the Nazarene. Jumped up, cocksure egomaniac, threatening all and sundry. You want to badmouth powerful organisations, you pay the consequences. Had she not been nosing about, and had she heeded my warnings about the danger she was in if she carried on, she could have been safely tucked under a duvet even now. Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee.
Thomas,
I needed to get to the truth.
In a devious way, which betrayed my confidence.
Oh, Thomas, don't give me a hard time.
You're going to have to find yourself another therapist.
I need you. You're my friend.
Say you're trying to work at liking yourself more, and then you trample over everyone's vulnerability to get what you want.
Who was murdered? Someone needed to get to the truth.
Oh, if you deceive yourself enough, Dee, you can justify anything you do. That's the point. Goodbye.
Oh, Thomas.
Mr. Massey gone home, Dee?
Oh, don't bother me, Tracy.
Sorry. I just wondered if you'd got anywhere with the Sarah Massey thing.
No, I didn't get anywhere. It's a complete waste of time. Anything else you would like to know?
Oh, I'm sorry I asked.
Yes, well, I'm in a quandary, Tracy. I can't think how to write up the WI's home baking competition.
Hang on, Dee. Yes, okay, Glynis. You take care. No, thanks for telling me. I'll be round as soon as I can.
Sorry, Jarvis. Sarah Massey affair was a complete fiasco. Couldn't find Jane Edwards, and there's nothing to suggest it was anything but a nasty little hoax. I think you were right. I was putting two and two together to make seven. All Trevor found out was that his daughter was a nymphomaniac and an acid freak.
We were had, were we?
I don't know. But I do know I hit a dead end.
C'est la vie.
What's the matter, Andrew? Look as though you've just seen a ghost.
That was Glynis Morgan on the phone. She was in tears. Geraint went out last night for a jolly little drive along the cliffs. Shouldn't have done, he drank too much. He told Glynis he had some visitors and he wanted to clear his mind. Didn't tell her who. The police found him this morning. Hosepipe attached to the exhaust and engine still running.
In Broad Canvases, Dee was played by Sue Johnston and Jarvis by Martin Troakes. Trevor Massey was Hugh Dixon. Thomas was David Middleton. Tracy was Lynn Seymour. Geraint was Hugh Caredig. Gareth Richards was Stefan Rodri. Jane Edwards was Claire Isaac. And David Richards was Ray Llewellyn. Original music was composed by Laurie Scott Baker and performed by Laurie Scott Baker, Dylan Fowler and Evan Parker. Technical presentation was by Nigel Lewis, Mike Frost and Gareth Tyrrell, and the production assistant was Nia Goff. Broad Canvases was written by Nigel Baldwin and directed in Wales by Alison Hindle.